Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Thank you. Good morning. Morning. Please take your seats. So good to be with you this morning. Talking about legacy. Praise the Lord. Hey, this is my first time getting to preach since coming back from our mission trip to Sri Lanka. And I thought it'd be great to just open up and share some testimonies of what God has done. And so to do that, I think we should hear from some of the team. So one of those who are in the room today, Amy, Paul, Alyssa, Phil, why don't you guys come to the stage? Come on up. This is Alyssa, isn't she beautiful? So that's my wife, by the way. Last time I said that, someone was like, wow, you're really going for it. Don't use the pulpit for flirting. It's all good. All good. It's safe. So we got to go on a trip to Sri Lanka recently, and we spent 2 weeks there preaching the gospel, sharing the love of Jesus on the streets and across churches, and we had such a exciting time in the Lord, and there was such an alignment. And specifically, I would say there is an openness on the nations of the world like never before. If we have a lack of faith and we believe that nations and people don't want to hear the gospel, we are naive. People are so hungry to know the truth. And more than ever before, I'm hearing testimonies from the UK to the Middle East to Sri Lanka and all across the world. People are hungry to know Jesus. And so I want to share with you some testimonies from that. So Liz, why don't you start us off and share a little bit about what God did while we're away?
Yes, hello. Hey, guys. So there were so many marvelous things that God did. I feel like I was joking and saying, I feel like we just had the most specifically and like, I don't know, piece by piece, like puzzle fitting together with our team. It was just such a gift to grow as a family. It was just, yeah, it was so powerful. But I just thought I would testify a little bit about, we ministered to a lot of people, but also we got to minister to a lot of children, which was so beautiful. We, because of your generosity as a church, we were able to host a pastors and leaders conference and pay for pastors to come and receive and their families. So the children had a kids conference. A lot of them have never been to anything like that before. We just had the best time. It was so glorious and beautiful. But specifically, we ran a session and we were just talking about how, like, once upon a time, the Spirit of God dwelt in a temple, but now, like, you're the temple. We, like, Paul was in a tent depicting it. It was epic. It was so good. It was so fun. But it was just Holy Spirit just moved in that space. We were really focusing on the fact that He dwells within us, but He speaks to us. And so we all just testified of different ways you can hear from God. And we just shifted gears and just invited the Holy Spirit. There was like 15 toddlers in the back of the room. So it was a miracle, but you could hear like a pin drop. It just went so still. And we just like got them to just quiet themselves down. And we just asked God some questions. And for the first time, for most of them, they heard the voice of God for themselves. Some of them saw things. They're like, in my imagination, I saw this. And what went from like a really shy, like timid group, I was like, what did, like, it was so still. You could just see them, like, complete blanket of peace just came upon the room. And there were just, a few of them were just crying, just like, I didn't know that God wanted to speak to me. And that's how He sees me. I was like, does anyone want to share? They're coming up, bold as anything. I saw this big light and a hand stretched to me. And He said, you are mine or I am yours. Your people are my people. I'm like, whoa. They're like, does Jesus say things like that? I was like, yeah, that's in the Bible. I was like, whoa. And just like, I saw a beautiful light. I saw Jesus and He said, you are a gift. They were just like testifying so, and it was so beautiful. So we just have testimony after testimony. We had young people be filled and given the gift of speaking in tongues, being fully filled. And it was just so beautiful. And like, we just went back into worship and just laid hands on them. And they were just standing before the Lord, just some of them just weeping in His presence. Like, I never knew that I could feel God, that He would want to speak to me. So it was, gosh, I just wanted to stay in there the whole time. I was like, I just want to remain in here. Yeah, who knows, there's no junior Holy Spirit. As much as we had to simplify language, we didn't water anything down. We were like, God wants to minister to you. So it was so powerful. And then Phil came up. He's like, hey, I want to pray for the kids to, you know, see signs and wonders and miracles. So he came upstairs that night. He's like to Kane, I'm going to run up and pray for the kids. He's like, go for it. Goes up, prays for them, and there was gold dust on all of the kids, just covering them. You guys can cheer. Yeah, that was like, it's worth it. Yeah, so it was just so marvelous and beautiful. I was just finding it everywhere, and it was just like such, like, it just brought the awe of God and just reverence. And we saw, just another quick testimony, following Sunday, we were doing a church service in a hotel, and a young family, the father is a Christian, the mother was Buddhist, and they were just passing through the hotel visiting Sri Lanka, and they brought their son in for service. They're like, sweet, cool, child minding, this is great for kids' church. And he came in, and during worship, I could see him holding his leg, and we just got to talking and talked about Jesus, prayed for his leg, and he got healed in that moment. Praise God. Praise God. And then his mum comes in later, and it was just a divine appointment, and we just got to share, and he just testified, just shared straight away. And then we got talking to them, and then the next day we saw them at the airport. So it was just like this divine collision, and Holy Spirit was just sowing seeds. But that little boy was like, had encountered Jesus. So he's doing marvelous things. But just to share a few with you guys, yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah.
So good. Praise God. Amy, do you have anything you want to share?
So throughout the conference, I was blessed enough to share my testimony with the people that were there. And I shared my testimony about how I'd walked away from the Lord and ended up coming back like it was a radical salvation. And I really felt the Lord put on my heart to go after shame and condemnation and people who felt stuck living in sin. So I just got to, do a moment where I just said, like, if you resonate with my testimony and if you feel like you're stuck in sin, stuck in shame, I want to pray for you. And it was amazing. Like, there's a lot of shame culture in Sri Lanka, and I was even speaking to a pastor after the fact, and he said that they've, like, seen people, like, never stand for, like, things like that to be prayed for because there is just such a deep root of shame culture in the country. And there was quite a number of people that stood up that got set free that night, which was amazing. The Lord really moved. It was so good. Yeah, praise God. And then after that, I actually got to meet with somebody who came up and introduced themselves to me, and he basically shared part of his story with me, and something that's very specific to my testimony, he was also really, really struggling with. And he said, my friends have been trying to tell me for, you know, a while that, you know, what I'm doing is wrong and all that sort of thing, but I've just never really listened. But in that moment, I really felt the Lord pull on my heart and something just hit differently. And so I got to minister to him, and the Lord used my testimony and what he's done through transformation in my life to speak into this guy's life. And he's like, yeah, I know that, you know, Jesus is the only one that can change me, and I'm just going to focus on him, and I'm going to just pursue a relationship with him, and I know that he'll change me. So that for me was like, Lord, if I was there for literally just to meet this one guy, like, that was worth it. So yeah, that was really powerful.
So good. We ministered in different churches, but we also got the privilege to minister on the streets. We prayed for different people each day, and drivers and all that sort of thing. And even one of the things we were able to do was host a huge community kitchen where we fed lots of people in a poorer community outside of Colombo. And hundreds of people came through. I think they estimated we fed over 300 people lunch that day. And over that time, we just got to meet people, hear their stories, pray with people. It was wonderful. But Phil, why don't you share some testimonies of things you saw God do on the trip?
One of the opportunities that we had to minister was to our pick-me drivers.
Yeah. Pick-me is like Uber
drivers.
But not.
And so we got to probably more than 30 guys. We got to, whoever was sitting in the front had an opportunity to preach the gospel. And the first time I got to sit in the front, we were going to church, and I probably had about 15, 20 minutes. And so I started talking to this guy, asking him about his family, got him comfortable. And then I said, do you have any pain in your body? And he said, I've got a problem in my shoulder. I sort of can't touch my other shoulder. And I said, I'll pray for you. And every now and then he'll turn to me, look at me and say, is this real? I said, yes, it is real. let me pray. So I prayed for his shoulder, and he still had a little bit of pain, so I prayed again. All the pain left. And then I led him in a prayer of salvation. We got him a Bible. By the time we got to church, somebody ran in, got him a Bible, come running out to give him a Bible. And I saw two or three other people, similar sort of thing, a Buddhist guy, a couple of Muslim guys, just get saved in the car, just get healed and saved in the car as we're driving. And I'm a big kid, so I love sparkles. I don't know if you've ever seen sparkles from heaven, but I have seen sparkles from heaven. And one day I realised that maybe I could pray that sparkles would manifest. And so whenever I've done a trip, especially the kids, they're really open to it. And so I just prayed, you know, just thought I've got to go. And I told the team, I said, I'll get a chance. When I get a chance, I'll. And I sort of put it off until the last meeting we had. And so we prayed for these little kids, and just instantly they just got all this silver and gold sort of sparkles in their hair. And as we're leaving Sri Lanka, the pastor was seeing us off, and his family was seeing us off. And I look at his little girl, and his little girl was sick, and so she never got a chance to see the sparkles. So I thought, I'll just pray for her right now. We're in the foyer. I'll just pray for the glory of God to come on you, to see the glory of God. And instantly, she started to sparkle. The pastor started, his wife started to sparkle. Sparkles were... I believe God wants his temple to sparkle.
Come on.
And you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The instruments in the temple were covered in gold.
Come on.
So why can't we get covered in gold? I'm an instrument. I'm just going to pray for you guys.
I think you should. If you want to receive that kind of faith, see signs, wonders, and miracles.
Yeah.
You can stretch your hands right now. If you need to stand, you can stand. But right where you are, just let Phil pray and impart that over you today.
Thank you, Lord God. Father, I thank you that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you want your glory to be seen upon your people. Father, you said that in Isaiah 61, Lord God, that we will shine with the glory of God will be upon us.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so, Father, in the name of Jesus... Father, I thank you would open our eyes to see the glory of God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, to see the signs and the wonders that make us wonder. Yeah, Lord God, to see, to be like children, just be excited about whatever God does. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus,
yes,
I pray that every person in this place, Father, I pray that they will begin to see the glory of God on them. Lord, it might not be straight away, but as they continue to look and continue to just... know the goodness of God, Lord, that that your glory be manifest. Even this morning, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that your glory be manifest upon their faces, upon their hands. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I feel like we should also pray for parents in the room today. If you're a parent and you want your children to see the wonder-working power of God, not just in church, but in your home. You want your kids to hear the voice of God for themselves and learn how to walk with Him. Why don't you just stand to your feet? We want to pray for you right now. And Liz, why don't you get ready to pray? And if you're around some of these parents, why don't you just come and put your hand on their shoulder? We're a family, the family of God, so we just want to pray this blessing over these homes, over these children. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just ask you, Father, for the gift of faith. And we thank you, God, for even, yes, signs, wonders, and miracles to follow those who believe. And so, God, as they've stood in faith, I thank you, God, that every home would be a dwelling place for your presence, Lord. I thank you, God, that as they read the scriptures with their children, Lord, that they would taste and see of your goodness in their home, that as they become curious and childlike, their children would even teach them about their portion of the kingdom. And so, Father, we thank you for childlike faith. We thank you would raise up young children. We thank you, God, for a fresh anointing over everyone that's parenting and given the stewardship of these beautiful gifts, God. We ask for heaven's perspective, for fresh perspective to see these gifts that they are here to steward. And Lord, I thank you even like David, just as he was a simple boy in the field and his parents didn't perceive who they were raising, I declare they will perceive who is in their household and who they are raising. I thank you that they would raise giants in the faith, Lord. And we thank you, God, that there would be testimony after testimony of healings, of miracles, of signs and wonders, God, that as they just step out in faith and say, yes, this is for today, that it would be a sign and a wonder that would draw those children unto yourself, Lord. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, breathe upon these families, every household represented here. We thank you for a fresh wind of the Spirit, a new season to shift over them, Lord, fresh perspective and new eyes to see their children the way you see them. We thank you, God, touch each one today. We thank you, we bless them in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Can you thank our team for sharing? So good. Thank you for those who prayed for us and stood with us, believing God for a great move in that nation. And we are a missional church, and so we don't just pray for revival in Numa Church. We pray for the revival of Australia and for the nations of the world. And can I tell you, since the moment Jesus resurrected, he has not stopped moving. Don't believe any lie you see on social media that says that the power of the Holy Spirit was only for the ignition of the church. He's not just for the ignition of the church, he's for the sustaining of the church, for the growth of the church, for the advancement of the kingdom. And so God has not stopped raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out demons, cleansing the lepers. He doesn't just do it on the mission field. He also does it in our own backyard, as you heard in one of those testimonies on the screens before. So I want to open the Bible this morning to Psalm chapter 145. Psalm 145. I'm going to be reading from the NLT. In verse 3 and 4, it says this, "Great is the Lord, he is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power." Somebody say power. Another translation in the ESV, it says, "From generation to generation, may they proclaim your mighty acts." There is something of an instruction in the scriptures that say, don't just keep what you've experienced in God to yourself, but pass it on to the next generation. Did you know that we are here together today as a church in relationship with Jesus, here standing in the presence of God today, because somebody, since the moment Jesus resurrected, somebody has passed on the testimony of his mighty acts. First with the disciples, and then on to the next generation, and then on to the next generation. Maybe on to your parents. Maybe not the parents, but maybe the person who led you to Jesus. Maybe the person who shared the testimonies of Jesus with you in your workplace or wherever you found yourself hearing from God. But you are here today because someone chose to proclaim his mighty acts. And we celebrate the legacy of what God has done throughout history. But see, in the heart of God is this desire for your story to become a part of his story. History is not something we just celebrate that once was, but history is in the making in you. See, even Paul said that your life would become like living epistles, that people would read your book, the book of your life, and they would see that Jesus is alive. Today, we're going to talk about a legacy of miracles, a legacy of miracles. And we've already started sharing testimonies of the miracle-working power of God. Do you know, since I was a child, I always believed that God was real. But who knows, there's a difference between believing God is real and actually following him. See, the devil believes God's real. Does he follow Jesus? Oh, no. I believed Jesus was real. I was not following him. I was living in sin. Living in sin all the way through high school, drinking, smoking, partying, doing as much as I could to fill myself with the pleasures of the world. Until I started to hear testimonies from people about the wonder-working power of Jesus. See, I thought Jesus was part of a religion of the past. Little did I know that when the Bible said he resurrected, it was actually true. Little did I know that when he ascended into heaven, he poured out his spirit on the church. And the same miracle-working power we read about through the scriptures is moving through his church today, and it hasn't stopped. And when I came to that revelation for the first time, I thought, oh my gosh, God is greater than I realized. Oh my gosh, this gospel is actually good news. It's not a dead gospel. It's not a story to tell of the past. It's a gospel that is alive and active and working throughout the earth today. And so I surrendered my life to Jesus and I said, God, if you could do it in these weak fishermen, if you could do it in these people, if you could do it in the people I can see over in America preaching about revival, if you can do it in the churches I hear about in Australia that are on fire for Jesus, God, would you do it in me? I gave my life to Jesus. I got baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit in a caravan park pool. I went back into my room and my father said to me, hey, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you should speak in tongues. I was about 17 years old at the time. I went into my room and I just started to talk to God and practice speaking in tongues. And after a few days, all of a sudden this prayer language was just flowing from my spirit. Sounded like foolishness, but I realized God likes to use foolish things to confound the wise. I went home and I tried to find a youth group and I actually realized I had a friend who went to a youth group. I started going along and I heard stories after stories of what Jesus did in the Bible, but I was like, God, I want to see it today. I remember one time when I was 18 years old, I was still living in my mother's house and I was in my room on a Saturday just spending time in prayer. Man, I was so hungry. I'd stay up to 12 a.m. researching how to heal the sick, how to raise the dead, how to cast out demons, how to prophesy, how to hear the voice of God. I was so hungry. And I was there one Saturday. I just spent my Saturday soaking in the presence of God in my room. I had worship playing. I had just instrumental music at the time. And I'm reading the scriptures. And I was reading the book of Acts, chapter 2. And I'm reading the story of when the disciples were filled on the day of Pentecost. And I remember reading Acts 1, 2, and 3. And I'd get to the end of 3. And I'd just feel this stirring, this sense in my spirit. I need to read it again. So I went back and I read it again. And I read it through. And I felt this stirring, this sense in my spirit, read it again. So I go back and read it again. And this time I'm like reading it out loud and I'm getting more like fired up as I'm reading it. And I remember getting to the part where it says, and then on the day of Pentecost, and then it gets to the part where it says, and suddenly the sound of a rushing mighty wind filled the room in which they were praying in. And I kid you not, as those words came out of my mouth, this gust of breeze came blowing through my house violently into my room. I have a small window and my fan starts, my blinds start flapping and all of a sudden my desk is shaking. My feet are wobbling and the fear of the Lord hit me. I wasn't sure if Jesus was coming back. I didn't know what was happening. But all of a sudden, this conviction hit me that these words literally happened. This is not a good story, but something actually happened. I raced outside my room into the kitchen on this Saturday morning, and my mum is like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm okay, are you okay? She's like, I think it's an earthquake. Quick, let's run to the front yard. So we ran to the front yard, and I'm there, and I check Facebook, and sure enough, whatever magnitude earthquake it was hit our town. In that very moment. I'm not suggesting I caused the earthquake by reading this, by any means. I don't believe that's what God willed for us, but, and there was no damage, by the way, to our town, but I actually think that God positioned me in a place of prayer It's the Holy Spirit who is drawing that hunger on my heart that I found myself in prayer. And he goes, I want you to read it again. I want you to read it again. I want you, because I want to show you I'm still moving in signs and wonders. And can I tell you, I have surrendered my life unto Jesus. And that doesn't mean preaching half of the gospel. It means preaching the full gospel. See, if we believe in a gospel that is a gospel of salvation, that we were once saved, but there's no gospel of proclamation and power, then we're living in a dangerous place. To believe in a gospel without miracles is only half the gospel. We must not have faith in the cross without the faith in Pentecost. Otherwise, we've watered down the gospel. Jesus, yes, he died for the forgiveness of our sins. That his blood is powerful enough to cleanse you from any sin. The greatest sin you could think of, his blood is the most powerful stain remover. But he didn't stay dead. He resurrected in glorious life by the power of the Holy Spirit. He ascended into heaven, and it says that he is seated on the throne. And then he promised this before he ascended, that he would pour out his Spirit on those who believe. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross, forgave you of your sin, and ascended into heaven, but you don't believe in the outpouring of his Spirit, then you don't believe in the words of Jesus. If you say you believe in Jesus for salvation, but you don't believe in present day power and miracles, then you believe part of what he said, but not all of what he said. And if he's to be your Lord and Savior, we must believe in it all. See, Jesus said, you shall do greater works than you've seen me do. He said, signs and wonders will follow those who believe. Signs and wonders don't follow the most holy person, the most righteous person, the person who prays the most. Signs and wonders follow those who believe. I think there's a few people who believe here this morning. See, God is moving across the earth today in signs, wonders, and miracles. And he does this because he wants to confirm the gospel, especially to the lost. You know, as we share the gospel and we share our faith with people on the streets of Melbourne or over on the mission field or maybe even in our workplaces, sometimes when we share the testimonies of Jesus, people's hearts are hungry, they're open, they've been waiting. But sometimes people are a little bit agitated by it. They're a little bit offended by it. Maybe they've been hurt by a Christian before and they want to argue about the gospel. They want to argue about faith or religion. But you see, when someone gets healed in their body, there's not much they can argue with. And Phil just shared a testimony of a Muslim driver while we were in Sri Lanka whose hip got healed. And he said, is this real? And Phil goes, it's real. He said, so Jesus is real? He goes, yes, Jesus is real. There wasn't an argument. There was a confirmation that the gospel that that man is preaching is true, is alive, and Jesus is not dead in a grave, but he's moving in power through his church. You know, as a church, we have a legacy of miracles. Over 100 years, God's miracle-working power has been passed down from generation to generation in this church. We heard a testimony of Pastor Glover, the audio before, sharing about how he was preaching in a service like this, and as he was preaching, he felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to stop what he was saying and to proclaim loudly through the speakers that there is somebody who is bedridden and I release healing over them in Jesus' name. And as the service was coming to conclusion, a lady walks in from across the laneway who got up out of her bed. She was sick and bedridden, but she got touched by the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's another story. I want to show you a picture on the screen here. There's a story of a boy who was paralyzed in 1934. This is the story. Have we got the picture there? There we go. The story of Stephen Dowling, the boy who was paralyzed, blind, dumb, and his mind was blank. Let me read to you this story written from the parents' perspective. In 1934, my son Stephen was attacked by a deadly germ which gets into the spine and he fell severely ill. This left my boy, who was just 6 years of age, paralyzed, blind, dumb, and unable to speak, and his mind was blank. At the children's hospital, I was told that the cells of the brain had been destroyed and he was sent to the Kew Mental Asylum as insane. Without any exaggeration, the result to his body was such as that of a skeleton you might see in a museum, with the skin stretched over the bones. But God, in answer to prayer, raised the child up, put flesh on his bones again, gave sight to his blind eyes, speech to his tongue, power to walk and to run in his paralyzed limbs, and renewed the destroyed brain cells. They say here, this healing cannot be a process of nature. It is the work of God in answer to prayer. The specialist explained that this germ would have permanent results on the body and would get progressively worse until the boy would die. But God said otherwise. Come on. Come on. Can you see the photo? This is a photo of him restored to his strength and his health. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? God's moving across the world today. We ought to be a church that says, Lord, do it in me. Do it in me. You're here today because someone passed on the testimonies. Someone proclaimed the wonder-working power, the mighty acts of God from generation to generation. The only reason that would stop is if you stop. Don't let the buck stop with you. We celebrate what God has done, but we now have a responsibility. We celebrate what God is doing, but you now have a responsibility. Will you proclaim his testimonies to the next generation? Will you proclaim the testimonies of the living God to the people in your workplace? Will you proclaim it to your children, to your family? Will you, when people ask you what happened, why you believe in Jesus, you don't just say, well, I think he's kind of nice. But I pray you would testify, well, because I heard that he is alive, he is moving in power today, because he's filled me with his Holy Spirit, because I've seen signs, wonders, and miracles that confirm the gospel I have heard preached. In our church, we have seen cancers healed. We've seen sick people healed. We've seen God move and resurrect people from their deathbeds into life again. We have seen people who were drug addicts completely set free. People who were prostitutes become prophets. People who were wicked and bound in sin become raging evangelists for Jesus. This is a gospel that is alive. Will you proclaim it to the next generation? Why don't you stand to your feet with me today? Why does Jesus choose to move in miracle-working power through his church? He's extending his kingdom. He's confirming the gospel. He's demonstrating that his kingdom is here and it's more powerful than the kingdom of the world. He's revealing God's loving nature. When someone gets healed in their body or receives a prophetic word or a word of knowledge about their life no one else could know, it shows them that God sees them and he loves them. And he's destroying the works of the devil. He's undoing pain and evil and wickedness. And he doesn't want to do it through angels. He wants to do it through you, his sons and daughters. So right now, would you lift your hands to heaven? We thank you, mighty, wonderful, glorious Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. You are here in the room today. Lord, we pray right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray you'd fill us with resurrection power. Why don't you say this prayer with me? Holy Spirit, I surrender to you. Make me your vessel. Make me a witness. That I would be one who proclaims your mighty works from generation to generation. Deliver me from fear. Fill me with boldness. Fill me with the fire of the Holy Spirit. That the world may know Jesus is risen. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Shaka robote, yefe, rombo takarabataya. Come, Holy Spirit. Esemente, yashakarabataya. Come, Holy Spirit. God, deliver us from complacency. Oh God, deliver us from a religious spirit. Deliver us from unbelief. God, put your fire in us. May we burn to see your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May Melbourne not look the same because you're sending out your church on fire. Come, Holy Spirit. Kaya bataye. Oh, she. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, why don't you just pray for a little moment longer? Koda bataya mataye. Eh, shekeya bataya. Oh, shekeya badadaba. I see fire coming on some of you right now. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Ko robo shaka roboto. I feel like the Lord is saying that there's someone here today and you've been dead in your faith. You've given up hope. You've stopped believing God for a miracle. In the name of Jesus. Oh, if that's you, just lift your hand right now. In Jesus' name, God, I pray that you would set them free. Oh, set them free, God. Fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, shakarobotie. Kavra mama mama ye. Shandrobokoyobotoyo. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. 3 minutes longer, church. Kaya batie. God, we pray. Let us not read about the story of Pentecost without experiencing the Pentecost power of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Eh, sharoboto. Kovra bataya mataya. Re, kaya batian darabakaya. I feel like someone's ear is opening right now in the presence of the Holy Spirit. As the church prays, I feel like someone's ear is opening. I'm going to say your left ear is opening right now in the name of Jesus. Kaya bataya koshe. Oh, kavra baba kaya ramantie. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there's healing for someone's liver this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, liver be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Kora bataya makaya. Shendro roboko. Esa karombo tuyo. Kara bataya. Oh, shemente. I feel like the Lord even wants to show his miracle working power in the realms of finances. I proclaim this morning that there are people here today and you've been needing a miracle in finances. There's no other way the money can come through. You've been facing deadlines. But in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, a financial miracle coming to your house, coming to your business. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God, let it fall on our kids. The fire that you've poured out, let it fall on our children. Lord, even now over the children's ministry, we bless the children's ministry of Pneuma Church. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit burn in our children, burn in our youth ministry, God. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, that what you once started, you will continue in power. Oh, korobotefe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just put your hands out in front of you right now. Just put your hands out in front of you right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Lives in you. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's not that we need more of the Holy Ghost, it's actually that the Holy Spirit needs more of us. So why don't you just tell Him you surrender afresh this morning. Lord, have all of me. Have all of my life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.